As they left the shore, they faced the storm, and suddenly they feared for their lives. But upon the sea there someone walked on the water as they listened for his cry. That's when they heard him call out their names, and tenderly he said, "It is I." Not understand how the Prince of Peace could find them in the middle of the sea. But with little faith and God's good grace, joy would overcome their desperate pleas. Now there are times in life when I face the storm and I wonder if I ever will survive. That's when I hear him call out my name, and tenderly he says, "It is I." He's the great I am. The great I am still is. The heavens and the earth are his. He's the merciful Almighty, forever. Everything. stood beside the gate of heaven, waiting to go in. And he wondered how this holy place could take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing and with music then they came. Of the angels standing by him, he asked what could be their name.
These are the company of prophets, the goodly fellowship of souls, who spake God's word with faith and boldness, who blessed the poor and made the wounded whole.
And he fell upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these. He waited till another band of shining ones drew nigh, and they entered into heaven with a hallelujah cry. He asked again, who are these? Can you tell me whence they came? And he seemed to see the answer in a burning tongue of flame.
These are the company of martyrs, the
upon his knees and cried, I am not one of these.
Then suddenly a multitude was heard from far.
Opened up before his eyes, he saw the martyrs and the prophets and the host of heaven rise,
and they said,
So many souls have tested him throughout the course of time. So many still reach out to him with broken hearts and minds. And every one of them will say, without exception, that they find that Jesus never fails. Even in the days of old, he brought his people through. And then he came to show his love, and he died for me and you. And then he rose again to prove that every story has been true, that Jesus never fails.
Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. You might as well get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot prevail, because Jesus never fails.
Sometimes this world brings trouble I find so hard to bear. I know I could not make it without Jesus being there. It's so encouraging to know, however deep we're in despair, that Jesus never fails. So what can I do to prove to you? Tell me, how can you deny? No untold facts, no mysteries, it's all so cut and dry. And on the witness stand of your life, I'll be the first to testify that Jesus never fails.
Minutes to Numbers 21 tonight. Numbers 21, some of you probably thought I was going back to Nehemiah, and I thought it was too, but the Lord sort of redirected our heart. Numbers 21, so we're going to look for just a few minutes tonight. And young people, I appreciate you being in here. If you'll just give us the undivided attention for just a few moments, and I'll let God speak to your heart. God wants to change some lives. He's already helped folks this week, and we're just expecting, exciting to see what God's going to do. And listen, I'm nothing, but I'm glad He is everything. He's able to do what I could never do. And tonight, Numbers chapter number 21 is where we're going to look with the help of the Lord. Several years ago at our winter challenge, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, the Lord gave me a thought on this. And I sure hope that it'll be a blessing and a help to you tonight. I hope it'll be real, real simple. I'm going to be talking about some snakes. And if there's one preacher that don't like snakes, it's me. And you don't have to worry about me bringing out some kind of sermon illustration, because I don't even like plastic ones, fake ones. I don't like none of them. But we're going to talk about one tonight, and I hope you'll let it sink into your heart. Numbers 21, I'm not going to ask you to stand, but in verse number 4, notice what the Bible said. Numbers 21 and verse number 4. And they, and of course that they is the children of Israel, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." God had made a pact and basically had sustained them every day with the manna that came from heaven. And here the children of Israel, they're complaining against God. They're complaining against the man of God. They're basically complaining about the provisions that God has provided for them. If they had asked, they would have said, "Hey, you know, the Lord Jesus never fails." But they were still complaining along the way. But look with me in verse number 6. Because they're complaining, the Bible said in verse 6, "And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died." So there's judgment. Let me just say this. There's judgment. When you disobey God and you sin against God, the only thing that's left is judgment. The Bible said that he made these serpents to bite the people. Much of them died. Look at verse 7. "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass,'" watch this now, "'that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live.' And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived." Now let's pray. Father, as we come to you, God, again tonight, Lord, I sure do need that touch. I need that unction. I thank you, Lord, for the good singing, the power, Lord, that was demonstrated here behind us just a few moments ago. Thank you that you never fail. Now, Lord, what I need tonight, it can't be manufactured. Lord, I can't work it up. You're going to have to help me. And, Father, I pray that you'd preach through us. Help me to decrease now, that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. I pray that you'd open the spiritual eyes and the minds of those that have been blinded. If there's one here lost, God, may tonight be the very night that somebody gets in. And I pray all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We plead the blood over this service right now. Have your will and your way, and we'll thank you. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. As we look at this text tonight in Numbers 21, one of the great illustrations and pictures in the Bible, in the Old Testament, which is a shadow or a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the text that I just read unto you in Numbers chapter number 21. I made a statement either Monday night or last night, and I say it quite often from this pulpit: the greatest commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. There's things in the Old Testament that can only be unlocked by the New Testament. There's things in the New Testament that can only be unlocked by the Old Testament. Now here we see this picture, what literally took place. Because the people of God had sinned against God, God raised up these fiery serpents, these snakes that were biting people, and according to the Word of God, many people had died on that day. I tell you, if I got bit by a serpent, Brother Kevin, I'd be dead. Wouldn't matter if it's a black snake, green snake, man, they're all the devil when I think about a serpent. But God made these serpents to bite the people. But they prayed unto Moses, or they said, "Moses, pray unto the Lord," and the Lord sent a solution. Now we know this is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, because you go to the Gospel of John chapter number 3 and in verse number 14. And the Bible said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." So that is a picture. Jesus took the picture of Numbers 21 and applied it unto himself. There's three words that you really want to hone in when you think about this passage and the passage in John where Jesus likened it unto himself. Think about the word lift. Think about the word also look, and then live. When he said to lift, Jesus said, "If I be lifted up," just as Moses lifted up the serpent. That means it was speaking of his death. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about in John chapter number 3. He was looking into the future. As Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, how was he lifted up? He was lifted up on a cross. We've got a cross right back here, a replica of the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up on that cross, not for his sin, but for my sin, for your sin, for every person that has ever lived on planet Earth. Jesus was lifted up, and it was a picture of death. But then the second word is to look. Now, when you think about lift, that has to do with death. When you think about looking, that's based upon a decision. These people had an opportunity. They were getting bit, but the Bible said if they were to look, then they could live. So it's a decision. They had a choice, much like every one of us in here tonight, of what we do with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can make that choice for you. You've got to make it yourself. But think about the word lift. It has to do with death. We think about the word look. That has to do with a decision. But then he said, if you look, if you're bitten, if you look, then you shall live. That's what he said there in Numbers chapter number 21. And that word live gives us the idea of deliverance. So when you think about this and you look at this situation tonight, there are several things that I'd like to show you. First of all, I would call this first thing the replica. What was God's design to spare the people in Numbers 21? Somebody might have came on the scene. They've got a problem. These snakes are popping up. And Brother Evan, they're biting everybody. And people are dying all around them. Somebody probably came up and said, well, hey, we need to pass some anti-serpent laws. But it wouldn't have changed a thing. Wouldn't have changed a thing. Somebody might have said, well, hey, we just need to go out. We need to kill some of these things. We need to kill these serpents. That still wouldn't have worked. Because this was the judgment from God. Somebody else came on the scene and maybe they didn't have the laws that are passed. Some of them probably come up and say, well, hey, let's just use positive thinking. Let's just pretend that these snakes ain't biting us. Now, you may think that sounds foolish, but there's a lot of that foolishness going on today. Let's just pretend that there ain't no serpents biting us. Well, that wouldn't have helped anything at all. But God told Moses to get a replica of the very thing that was killing them. Notice what the Bible said in Numbers 21 and verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. The very thing, these fiery serpents that was killing them, God said, I want you to make a replica and put it on a pole. The very thing that was killing them was going to be the remedy. The very thing that was killing them was going to be the answer when they looked on it. Well, you know what? You might say tonight, by way of application to the New Testament, to our day, today, you say, I've never been bitten by a serpent. Well, thank God you hadn't, but we've all been bitten by sin. But God has made a way. In the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said that He became flesh, walked among us, yet one fundamental difference between He and us, He was without sin. Did you know this old wicked flesh, that condemns us? But God sending His Son, oh yeah, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the curse of the law. Galatians lets us know that. In Galatians chapter number 4, God made a way by sending His Son to die in our place. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the Bible said that for He was made for us. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. God had a replica. Jesus bore our sins on the cross, yet He was without sin. But not only was there a replica made here in Numbers 21, there was a revelation. What is the revelation? They were to see something. Notice what it said there in verse number 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. It wasn't a matter of if they got bit. It was when they got bit. They had a revelation. They were to look upon that brazen serpent that was lifted up on the pole. And when you think about this, this was a personal look. Now let me say something to everybody here. We've all been bitten by sin. The Scripture's pretty clear. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Can we get a witness right there? That's a picture of all of us. I'm not preaching down to you, whether you're young or old. We were born sinners and in need of a Savior. God has made a way through and by the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ to save our unworthy soul, because prior to salvation, we're hell bound. And listen, young person, middle-aged folks, senior adult, you better understand tonight that if you're not in the Lord Jesus Christ, hell is going to be your home. There ain't no way to sidestep that. That's where you're headed. You're heading down a broad road that leads to destruction tonight apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has made a way, just like He made a way in Numbers 21. He made this replica of this brazen serpent. He said, listen, when a man is bitten, all you got to do is look by faith and you shall live. The revelation was they had to look, but it's a personal look. I can't look for you. Sister Savannah, you can't look for me and I can't look for you. Brother Travis, I can't look for you. You can't look for me. It's a personal look. Those folks on that day, maybe their son or their daughter had got bitten. The mama couldn't look and the child be spared. Amen. Maybe the mama got bit. The child couldn't look on her behalf and live. It was a personal look when they were bitten. And death was on their trail. They're getting ready to depart from this world. They had to have a personal look. And it was a particular look. What were they to look upon? They were to look upon that brazen serpent. There wasn't many ways in Numbers 21 to be saved. Right. Amen. There wasn't many ways for them to live. There was one way. Hey, there's only one way today too, friend. You'll not get there by your good works. You're not going to get there on the coat till you say, well, hey, my mom and dad saved, my grandma and grandpa saved. Well, listen, you got to be saved if you want to go to heaven one day. It's a particular look. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But with this revelation, God made this replica. He made this revelation. You got to look. It's got to be a personal look. You got to do it yourself, individually. It is a particular look to look at that replica, and you got to look to Jesus. But it was a powerful look. Because notice when they looked upon it, what the Bible said, it said that they lived. Ain't that what it said? Look at verse number 9. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. So there's a replica. He's made this serpent. Listen, Jesus was made just like you and I, yet He was without sin. And He went to Calvary's cross, suffered and bled and died. There's the revelation. You and I have to look by faith. Again, Ephesians 2 and verse number 8 said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I want you to notice something here. We see the remedy. That remedy there that is laid out, and I just shared it with you. You got to have that look, that personal look. You got to have that particular look. You got to have that powerful look that'll change your life. But there's one other thing in here that you might not find in the Bible, but I'm sure that it was there. Did you know there was rejoicing on that day? Because according to the Word of God, the Bible said that many of those folks that were bitten, they died. But God had a remedy put in place. And don't tell me that that crowd that had got bit, when they looked at that serpent that was raised on a pole, and that's an important point too, by the way. God didn't hide that thing down away real low to the ground, put it up on a pole for everybody to see. And that's the good thing. That's the good news of the gospel. Because it doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter your educational level. It makes no difference what your color is or what your language is. Listen, I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank God, He died for every individual that's ever lived. And God didn't tell Moses, Art, you just hide that thing, keep it down low. He said, no, put it up on a pole. That lets me know that's for access for everybody. The antidote and the remedy was right there. And God wanted to make sure that everybody could see. Because understand, 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3, still in the Bible. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We cannot hide the gospel and the message of saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to put it up on a pole. But that crowd on that day that got bitten, they looked at it. And when instantaneously they lived, their life was spared. Don't tell me they wasn't rejoicing. Think about that little youngin, Brother Kevin. Maybe 8 or 9 or 10 or 12 or 13 years old. That fiery serpent comes along, Brother Evan, latches on to that leg. But they know they've been given a remedy by God. If they can just get that child to that brazen serpent that's lifted up where everybody can see, if they can just get them to him and they can get their eyes on him, be healed. Boy, they rush that little child up there, life just barely clinging on to him, Brother Travis. I can envision that. All of a sudden, they looked toward that and instantly they lived. Don't tell me they wasn't no rejoicing on that day. I'm talking about tears of joy because life had been given unto them. But where I really want to stop right here is this. There was two types of people in that day that couldn't get help. There's two types of people on that day that couldn't get a remedy. That couldn't have their life changed, couldn't have their life saved. And the same applies today. What are you talking about, preacher? Two types of people. In that day in Numbers 21, you know who couldn't get healed on that day and who couldn't get saved? Those who didn't know there was a remedy. Those that didn't know. Those that are out in the field somewhere and maybe they hadn't been given the revelation that, hey, there's been a way of salvation if you're bitten by this serpent. Those that hadn't ever heard couldn't be saved. My, how important that should be for you and I that are saved to get the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my job. That's my responsibility. That's your responsibility. As a child of God, we got to tell a lost and dying world that, hey, whosoever will, I know you've been bitten by sin, but let me tell you about a Savior that loved you so much that He left the splinters of heaven, suffered and bled and died on a rugged cross so you could be set free from sin. But two types of people couldn't get saved on that day. The first one was those that had never heard, those that didn't know there was a remedy. But there was a second crowd that couldn't be saved on that day, just like it is today. Those that refused to look by faith. I mean, they got bit. Moses said, hey, I've got this thing up on a pole, and it's up to you. If they had never heard, they couldn't have been saved, Brother Brandon. But the other crowd, if they knew, man, all you got to do, if you get bit, they'd been told, they'd been warned. Hey, their death is on your trail. But if you don't look, you're going to die. And if they refused to look by faith, they died in their sin in Numbers 21. And the same holds true today to those that reject Jesus Christ as Savior. Christy and I were coming back the other day down 67 right before we get to Donahoe. They've been working on that bridge for a while. We come around down that big old hill and come around a curve, and there was a man standing with a stop sign at the very bottom of the hill. There was a big transfer that was steamrolling right back behind us. And the guy that was holding the sign, he had it right here, but there was a truck right there in front. I'll tell you what that fella did. He began to lift that sign up just as far as he could and was waving it. You know why he was doing that? He was alerting that fella behind us to see that there was a stop sign at the bottom of the hill. It was lifted up on a pole to serve as a warning and to serve as a reminder. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung between heaven and earth. Access. Those two thieves on each side of him, the Bible calls them malefactors, they had equal access to the Lord Jesus Christ as you do. Those two thieves symbolize and are a picture of every person that's ever lived. One got right, he's in heaven today. The other died without God and he went to a place called hell. You'll go to one place or the other. You're going to heaven, you're going to hell based on what you do with the Lord Jesus. Sister Savannah's coming. I want to share this with you and I'm done right here. When I was a 13-year-old boy, some of y'all 13 around that age, some of you can't remember that. I had a big old thick head of hair. Had as much hair as you did, buddy. I sure did. Maybe a little bit more. 13 years old, I was given an opportunity to go to youth camp, to a youth meeting. That's why I'm pro-youth. I'm pro-youth meetings. Anything we can do to reach young people, that's what we're going to do by the grace of God because it made a difference in my life, and I know it's making a difference in the lives of these youth. But at 13 years old, I was given, remember those three words, to lift, to look, and to live. I had a decision to make on that day. For the first time in my life, I understood that I was under a death sentence, 13 years old. There was a choice to be made. All I had to do was look to Jesus by faith. And I come under conviction on a Wednesday night, Brother Travis, And I didn't get saved on Wednesday. By the grace of God, I got saved on Thursday. But you know why I didn't get saved on Wednesday? You listen right here now. The reason I didn't get saved on Wednesday, Brother Evan, was because fear had got in my mind. Man, what's my buddies going to say? What's my friends going to say? What's my neighbors going to say? What's my classmates going to say? What's all these people here at this youth camp? What are they going to say? That's what kept me from moving on Wednesday night. Boy, I stayed up about all night because I knew I wasn't right with God. I'd been given the answer to my sin problem. It was Jesus. I understood I could be forgiven of all of my sin by simply looking by faith at the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Thursday rolled around. Thursday evening, I still had fear in the back of my mind. But man, as we gathered around down there at the bottom, we was outside. We wasn't even in a church building. Them kids got to praying, and we got to singing Amazing Grace and something else. And man, I'd had about all I could stand. There wasn't even no preaching on that night. The big preacher showed up. Brother Randy, I was under conviction. I'm talking about Holy Ghost conviction. And it didn't matter what anybody thought. I just bowed down and said, Lord, I need to be saved. And I grabbed a hold of that youth pastor. I said, I got to be saved. And I called on the name of the Lord. You know what happened? He saved my soul. And it was a decision. Daddy couldn't look for me. Mama couldn't look for me. You couldn't look. It was a personal look. I had to say, Lord, I need you. Listen, salvation is not a complicated deal. Why do we harp on it? Why do we preach on it? That is the antidote. That's the answer. That's the remedy to this world's problem. And I don't want to see anybody die lost and go to a place called hell. Don't let fear keep you in the sea. Don't let the devil keep you in the sea. Listen, you got to look by faith so you can live. What a great picture of Numbers 21 and what the Lord Jesus Christ does for us. Now listen, you're going to have an opportunity right now. Will you decide? Will you look by faith? Again, there's two types of people that couldn't get help on that day. Those that didn't know. Now listen, you won't win that argument. Because the truth has been exposed. You over here on Wednesday night and here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Through the preaching and the teaching and the ministry of the church, just the folks that are here in this building and the folks that are attached to this church, you're without excuse because the truth's been laid out. It's up to you. So if you die in your sin, it'll be your fault because you refuse to look by faith. God's calling somebody, no doubt tonight, to salvation, but it's up to you. Your friend can't look for you. You can't look for your friend personally. You got to. But do you know that you've called on the name of the Lord and asked God to save you? If you hadn't, boy, tonight, listen, this church loves you. We got folks here that love you. We'll pray. We will do everything we can. But, well, this has been a special week, all coming to a point here on a Wednesday night. And it's up to you. The ball is in your court. It's a decision you got to make to receive Him or reject Christ. It'll be the greatest decision you've ever made if you look by faith to the finished work of the Lord Jesus. As we stand all over the house tonight, heads are bowed.
Hello friends, this is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat-and-meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, you must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16 it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them, if you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sins. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.